I know this isn't going to be the title of this podcast, but in case it is, in case we run out of titles, I have one for you. It will be, apparently we gave up podcasting for Lent.
we're busy.
Well, I'm just really, I don't know. We
overwhelmed.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Jason.
Hi, Christina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's been a while.
A minute, right? I think we should, I know this isn't going to be the title of this podcast, but in case it is, in case we run out of titles, I have one for it. It will be, apparently we gave up podcasting for Lent.
we're busy.
Well,
just
I'm just
really,
I don't know.
Overwhelmed.
We had that great preparing for Lent show, and then apparently somewhere along the line.
And by the way, we were doing really well with Lent, and we did really well with Lent. But we almost did so well we gave up podcasting.
Well, I don't think that was the intent, though. So maybe we didn't do Lent very well at all. What if you give up stuff you don't mean to give up? That's a good point. Well, we have an exciting guest and show today. And
you know what? I bet you say that every time. I think Bradford once said that.
Well, you know
but
what?
You're right. Every guest is exciting. I just want to acknowledge that you say that every time.
Yeah. I love it when you call me out on these things. It just, it makes me feel so good.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's
I just
okay.
want
I just
to
like
know.
Your word exciting. And you're right. This guest is exciting.
So here's new rule, Christina. You get to announce the guest from here on.
Awesome. I get a task. I like it.
All right. Well, our guest is in the middle of pouring her drink, so we'll just get, but I'm excited to have
Well,
her.
She's drinking from a glass in my house that is not really a wine glass, so.
It's very fancy, though.
It's very fancy, but there's not, it's not very big, so you feel like you have to fill your glass a lot.
Multiple times. True. Multiple times. All right. Well, Mary Lund is our guest today.
Hello, Mary Lund.
Hello, Christina. Hello, Jason.
Mary, before I let you introduce yourself, I want you to know, just for the record, that you are probably the most influential person on me doing the Idaho Falls Public Library Book Nerd Challenge this year.
Good.
So
I'm happy to take that influence.
Yeah, I just want you to know that. So I think it's most appropriate that you're on the show today, because I think even on our last podcast we talked about doing the challenge. So
And we probably have mentioned Mary a couple times.
Sure. Right. Well, right. So anyway, I just want you to know that. But also want you to know that's not the only reason you're on the show.
No. Okay. It's not just because you love books.
No, no. And it isn't because your husband's one of my favorite people either. So I just wanted to give John a plug. I know.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people too.
We have that in common.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Mary, introduce yourself to the
Well,
show.
I'm Mary. I'm married to John for 35 years, long time. We have two kids and lived all of our married life here in Idaho Falls.
All of your married life.
All of our married life. Yes. And
I didn't know that.
Yep. We got married. We drove down through the middle of Idaho, camped in a pup tent one night, and then we were here, and we've been here ever since. So I know. It's crazy, huh?
Let me get this straight. Now, I want to be clear. Married day, honeymoon drive, pup tent. Is that what? Is that
oh,
fair?
Oh no, we did have one night in a fancy
hotel.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
but
I
the
have
next
to
day,
chit chat with John.
Yeah. Well, our honeymoon wasn't a pup tent.
Oh.
Yeah, we went to Palisades.
Oh.
We moved down here, and then we didn't have a honeymoon. It was, hey, the first weekend, let's go up to Palisades in the mosquito-infested woods of Idaho in a pup tent. Okay, that sounds like a fun honeymoon. But, you know, over the years, he's made up for it because we've traveled and we've had many honeymoons now.
There you go.
I don't regret it. It was a beautiful fall weekend with lots and lots of mosquitoes.
Right. Well, you know what? I think there might be a lesson there for couples, you know, young couples. you know, start, everyone, you know, wants these destination weddings, big honeymoon stuff. No, yeah. Just aim low.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Go to a, and then you spend the rest of the marriage. Just
it just moves up. Yep, it does. It does. We've done a lot of interesting and fun things in our life. So, yes. Yeah. That was.
So, Idaho Falls, 35 years, yes. Two kids.
And I joke with my friend Rose that between the two of us, we've done every possible job. That like gamut of kinds of jobs that are available in the world between the two of us.
Between you and Rose or you and John? You and
no,
Rose.
Between me. No, John did the same thing for 28 years. He went into his job and he never left. But I started at the pool. I worked at a frame shop. I worked at a decorator / plant / flower shop. I was an operator for a while.
Wait a minute. What kind of operator?
At the hospital.
Oh.
You know, the person who answered, before they had all those fancy systems.
Sure, right.
I answered the phone, and then I directed the calls, and I had to call the codes if they did that.
Yeah.
It was a very stressful job. I didn't like it. I did not like it at all. And I didn't like doing nights. I had to do nights.
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't do that for very long. And then I was a office manager, and after that I've kind of been an office manager, and when Rose fills in all the things she did,
right,
we've just, you know, done it all.
Yeah, it covered.
Yeah, it's been kind of funny. I just flip-flopped all over the place when I was young. So
which would you say was your worst job, the hospital one?
The operator job was pretty bad. The flower shop, the person I worked for was she was very difficult to work for.
That's interesting because you would think flower shops would be the best job, but it does matter who you work with.
It does. And it was a, like she sold futons and pillows and high-end things for your home that you set around. And the flowers, most of the flowers were artificial. So I did a lot of artificial flower arranging. But then she also had live plants.
Okay.
It was kind of a weird shop. Anyway, I won't mention the name of it, but I very much did not like working for her. So
you were ready.
I was so ready, and yeah. But the pool was okay. It helped us save for our first home. So because you know we could live on John's income, and we saved all mine, and we bought our first house.
Oh, there you go. That's right.
Yeah,
so smart.
Yeah, we were
that's
just
how things should go.
Yeah, we were just very frugal, and so that's how we did it, because owning a home was very important to us.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad for people nowadays.
Yeah.
It's
right.
It's so hard.
And now that the interest rate's going up, it's a little bit more difficult. I don't know. Maybe it'll right itself.
Yeah. Soon. I hope. I hope the market figures it out.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know, right? I mean, I think we talked about that, and I know your kids are similar in age to our kids too, right? But you know, we keep thinking the market will correct itself, but you know, the starter home price, I'm sure, you don't have to share, but I'm just going to guess what you paid for our house, your house, you know, similar to ours, right? You'd never see that number ever again.
Ever again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Inflation is yeah, I can't even imagine. And we were so excited when we made a little money when we sold it. Yeah. And bought the second one. You know, it was like, wow, look at all that money we made. And now it's like a dink,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, just
right. And a pickup goes for what you paid for your first house, right?
It does.
Yeah. And then you think, oh, I guess I should live in my pickup.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the cost of a house. Right. Yeah. So that's kind of my life in a nutshell, except for the last installment, which was working where I work now. Yeah. For the last 21 years, so at Holy Rosary School.
Cool.
Yes.
21 years.
21 years.
So you must like it if you stick there for 21 years, right?
I do. I would say that this was where I was supposed to be.
The whole time.
Yeah. And although I know that you know, Jason, because I shared that with you, it's coming to the end now. It's moving in the direction of retirement, so I'm excited about the next chapter.
Okay.
And I don't know if Jason shared that with you, Christina.
I don't know. Did you? Apparently not, because I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, I'm going to cut my hours next year, and we're doing a lot of job rearranging at the school, and in preparation for me to retire, hopefully the year after.
Oh, that is, I'm glad you made that decision.
Yes, it was, remember when I said earlier, I struggle with decision making.
I am glad that you did that. That'll be good.
It will be, and it's time. There needs to be some new.
Isn't that but that's a great place to be at, right? When you recognize, right? When you say, okay, wait a minute, it's time for me. I recognize.
Yes.
So that is kind of cool.
It is. People have said for a long time, oh, what would the school do without you? And I always say to them, they'll be fine.
Yeah. They'll still be a school.
They'll still be there, and they'll find somebody that can do what needs to be done. And, right, you know, you shouldn't be frightened of it. And, you know, I'm just a person doing a job like everyone else. And, mm-hmm.
True.
It's.
Things change.
Yeah, and things change. And sometimes that change is super good. You know, fresh mm-hmm. ideas,
sure.
new ways of doing things. And after a while, you as a person get stuck in a rut and you don't have those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't come up with those new ways anymore.
Right. Just don't have it.
No. So.
Well, that's exciting because then you and John will be retired together.
Yes.
And hopefully. Well, I know he's got a few other things, but still.
Yeah. I'll be able to go with him on his trips.
And, that's right.
Oh, now that would be fun. Yes.
Well, I don't know. How often can you go to
Pahrump?
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's where he is today. And I would not go to Pahrump.
That can't be a top 10 tourist.
No.
Sorry to the people in Pahrump.
That's right.
If she's with John, Pahrump is a Garden of Eden.
No. Pahrump is what it sounds like.
Is this in Nevada?
It is in Nevada. It's like 50 miles from Vegas. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's near their test site.
Yeah.
And
Well, before we have we get nasty emails from the Pahrump
Chamber of Commerce
and Visitor Center. Mary, do you want to move that?
No,
I can
good.
Hit mute if you want to get that all squared away. There we go. I think we're back on it now.
Yeah.
So, Mary, what are you drinking?
Well, I am drinking Pure Paso by J. Lore.
And Pure Paso.
So it's a Paso Robles. It's a very deep, dark wine.
It is. It is a very deep, dark red
it's
wine.
It's very dark.
Dog. I'm sorry. Every podcast she's in.
It's okay, honey. She wants to be part of it.
So where did you get this wine?
I got this wine from the Holy Rosary School Auction and Wine Tasting, which I am the chair of. For this year, we'll see what next year brings. And it was when we pick wines, we try to pick a big bold red, and then maybe a little bit lesser red that's maybe a little lighter for some people, and then usually a Chardonnay of some sort, and then a sweet wine for those people that just haven't developed their palates as much and like the sweet wine. And then we always have a champagne of some sort. This year we had a Prosecco toast and
a Moscato.
Yeah, the Moscato was the sweet wine. We had Sea Sun Chardonnay, and then we had Arati. Oh, I can't remember. That was the other red wine.
So
it was a blend, I believe.
I didn't go all the way through when I was looking at the auction items and they posted some of the wines because I thought I never saw any red. I only saw the Prosecco, and I saw the Moscato, and I saw the Chardonnay, and it was totally bummed out that there wouldn't be a red. So as soon as we got there, Jason bought me the special drink that you guys were also offering.
The Centennial wine glass. Whatever.
And by the way, those wine glasses stayed there. So
we forgot
obviously
to bring
I needed them, right? And
I will bring you some because I have the extras in my room.
Because we left ours behind.
But
that sort of
set. It's a tasty drink, but it is not smart to then when you see the red or the Chardonnay come on the table, I'm like, I'll try that.
I'll try that too.
And then when the red came on, I'm like, I will try that. And that is a recipe for misery.
Yes, it is. Been there many times, yes. Christina.
You know, what's funny is this wasn't our first rodeo, Christina.
No, I know. I
don't know what in the world happened. I, well, We can't talk about we're talking about Mary's drink.
Yeah, we're talking about Mary.
And I don't know how we got stuck on this whole thing. Oh,
it's okay. Well, the wine was good this year. Yeah. I had a lot of compliments, and I don't take credit for it because my friend Jenny Guerin, I usually just email her. She's a distributor. And I say, Jenny, this is our theme. You know, pick us some good wines. And she always does.
Well,
and she's so gracious and provides those wines. And, well, we buy the wine. But she picks them out for us. And it's lovely. And this year was an especially good year, I think. For the wines.
I just put a little plug. And this is Holy Rosary Catholic School did not ask me to plug this, but I'm telling you, it was a great event.
Thank you.
We had a good time.
We did.
Good.
We had a great time. I think just overall, and what I love about the event, just as you get to see a bunch of people, you know, dressed up in a little different environment. Mm-hmm. Of course, the booze is, or the wine's flowing a little bit. And so people are always having fun, and the dancing at the end was always good. But overall, it was just a really good event. So.
My sister and her husband came, and so that was my sister's first time, I think. Coming, and they had an earlier event for their
archery club.
Oh, fun!
So they had an earlier event, similar, but not as much drinking, obviously, because we're in the middle of the day. And then they changed clothes and came. So it was their second event.
The second event of the day.
Yes. So it was fun to be with them, but I was so pumped. I mean, I have just had so busy at work that I just wanted to hang with my kids, and they were all coming and all dressed up.
Yes.
And my kids are so fun, and I love hanging with my kids, and that I think I wasn't thinking about mixing my alcohol. I was just thinking about how much fun I was having with my kids, and then, so anyway, that's how that went.
Right.
Well, good.
Right. But anyway, it was a great event.
Good.
So, Mary, what are Christina and I drinking?
Well, you're drinking my other favorite thing right now that I actually drank last night, but...
And you shared with.
I did. So last fall, spring, whenever they had it, actually it was last August, they had the beer fest. They didn't have it during COVID, but they had rescheduled it. Usually it's in June, but they rescheduled it and had it in August. And John and I had the pleasure of pouring Ace Cider, and it's from California, but they have all these flavors. And we were pouring mango and guava. And, you know, again, sweet drinks. It was mostly the really young people coming. You know, they weren't drinking the heavy, dark beers that are also poured. And John and I usually pour for Leinenkugels because I have a thing for Leinenkugels because I'm from Wisconsin. So, but they had their booth taken care of. So I said, just put us where you need. So we had these wonderful little, you know, youngsters, these 21-year-olds coming up. Oh, this cider is so sweet and so yummy. And I'm like, yeah, it is, isn't it? And I just decided, since I was tasting it, that I would mix them together. And oh my gosh, it was so
good. It was a winning good. Combo.
And I started asking people if they wanted to try my special,
Your special blend.
And it just started going through the crowd, and people were like, can we have your special blend? Can we have your special one?
Oh, so this is Mary's special.
And so, and my husband was like, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, why? It's really good. And, you know, why not mix them together? So I hadn't bought any for a long time, and I was having pizza, and I really wanted something. Usually I drink pop with pizza. I don't like beer with pizza. And I was thinking, oh, it'd be really good is that cider I had. So went out, got some of the cider, and thought I would share that combination with you.
Where'd you purchase these?
Albertsons.
Oh, they had these two flavors?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They did.
Well, we'll have to remember this, because this is a perfect
summer
pizza
drink. There's nothing I hate worse
drink.
Than hunting all over town for a particular type of beer.
Yeah, I actually went online to see, and they only showed the mango, but then when we got there, they had the guava too. Okay. So, and then people asked for the pear. I guess the pear is really good. I still haven't tasted the pear cider that they have, but I hear it's very, very good.
Have you ever tried pineapple?
And they have pineapple too, and I haven't. I almost bought some of that too.
That's my daughter's fave.
Yeah. So that all of the above.
Well, if this is the Mary's special blend, is fantastic.
Yes, so it's good, isn't it?
Cheers to
cheers
that.
Cheers or skål, as the Vikings say.
Or slánche in Irish, because we're going to be talk. We're going to be talking about Irish things in a minute.
That's right. So let's just jump right to that. Now, remember, I brought this up. We're going to ask Mary what she's reading, of course.
Yes.
But I do just want to remind everyone that, can I just say, Mary, you know, you sit on the library board. Is that okay? I guess I just said it, so. Sorry.
Well, my name's on the website, okay. So.
So, and Mary has always kind of mentioned this, and this year, for whatever reason, I was like, apparently I listened to what you were saying.
Oh, that was nice of you, Jason.
All these years, and
he only had to hear it like 7 times.
And so I'm like, okay, we're going to do the challenge this year. So we are in the midst of the Idaho Falls Public Library, you know.
Extreme book nerd.
But I will say, Jason decided to do the book nerd part that you get to choose your own books. Yes. He didn't want to stick with the...
I started the other way.
He did, and then he's like, it's too...
There was too much fiction on the book, on that list.
Oh, yeah. See, and I worry about the other side of it, because fiction I can read no problem, but the nonfiction I'm like,
I know. So get this. Snore. We go to the library. This is like our date night now. Yes. Hey, let's go to the library, which I absolutely love. And I'm mad that I've never enjoyed it as much as I have now. We go to the library, and my husband just books it, pun intended, to the biography section, where he just randomly chooses a biography.
Of anyone.
Yeah. Okay. And reads it. And I'm like, that sounds incredibly dull. And he's now reading.
Well, I'm reading a book on Don Shula now.
Yeah, and he read one on Doris Day.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, no, Caitlin read The Princess.
Princess Diana?
No.
Princess Grace?
Grace. Oh. Yeah.
So.
Oh, because that was the We Didn't Start the Fire one.
Yep.
Right. That's right. What he did, but then he switched.
So let me just, since you decided to bring that up, I'm gonna explain my decision choice, and then eventually we're gonna get to our guest. But I just want to be clear.
I am not
so
judging.
So I go to the fiction section, and titles are like, "This is a title. This is not a title of a fiction book, but it could be. Ready? It'd be like Butterflies, Sticks, and, you know, My Grandmother's Favorite Recipe," right? I mean, that is a book title of every kind of, every fiction book has that kind of title. You have no idea what is it about. Is it about butterflies? Is it about sticks? Is it about grandmas? You don't know. When you go down the biography section and you go, hey, there's Don Shula. You know what? I bet you I know what that book is about.
I don't know who Don Shula is.
Oh, he was the coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, how fun is that?
For the perfect season. Yeah. Oh, come on now. It's great stuff.
Well, no, anyway, it's probably a little better than Doris Day. But,
no, stop it now. But I know what I'm going home with.
I'm not judging.
So I do, though. I did. So I gave up the fiction. Can I tell? I'm going to tell my little story.
Go for it. I want to hear.
This is my cute little story. So we were... we were in church, and this little dude, and I don't want to, I'm trying to keep all the things private, right? Because nobody wants to.
Just call him Little Bob.
No, this little kid, little guy, little second grader. And we were sitting in church, and it was a practice or something. Anyway, he was there with his sister and his mom. And I go, hey, dude, what are you doing today? And he's like, you got all stoked. It's like, we're going to the library. We're going to the library. And I just finished another book. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'd love to go to the library. Hey, do me a favor, I said. Go to the library. I want to give me a recommend. Give me a recommendation. So sure enough, the kid goes to the library. He picked out a book for me. His mom snapped a photo and took it for me.
To give to you.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then I go to the library, and I had to ask where it was. And it turns out it was a young adult. Fiction book.
Oh.
So I was like, I gotta talk to this kid.
What's he doing in the young adult fiction section?
No, his mom explained it to me that she knew that he was trying to get to an older book, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And it was on a display. So it was cute. He just walked by and said, pick that one. And the title of the book was a little bit, I was like, it was about spiders. I was like, oh man, I hate spiders and it's gonna be scary and all that kind of stuff. But anyway. So I picked up the book and I read it, and I saw the kid the other day, and I just I told him, I said, thank you for the recommend. So there's at least one fiction book, thanks to, you know, on my list, thanks to this little kid.
Yeah.
About like a dystopian where people, yeah, aliens come.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, it was really a, about spiders.
It was a Hunger Games kind of alien thing put together. It was pretty cool. But
and then you gave him a recommendation.
I did. But I gave him the recommendation of the book that changed my life.
Which was?
Yeah.
Gentle Ben by Walt Morey.
Oh, Gentle Ben. Is he old enough for that?
I don't know. Well, do you think?
He's second grade? That's
third grade.
I read it in third, fourth grade.
But if you're a very good reader,
yeah,
you will struggle through it.
I told his mom, so maybe if she'll be old enough, if he's maybe not
able to read it. Or they could read it together.
By right. the way, he's not old enough to read the Spider one.
No, but my point is, you know, the thing about Gentle Ben is the minute, you know, it changed my life, right? Before I read that book, I had no clue that you could have a best friend be a grizzly bear. And then I read this book and I'm like, I could have a grizzly bear as a best friend. And it changed the way I looked at the world.
Did it change the way you looked at animals? And
I was like, this is great. I could have, I never did meet a grizzly bear. I mean, never met a friendly one.
Wait, yeah. We'll be hiking, jail meet. Hey, is it you, Gentle Ben?
Oh, no.
Be my friend. Don't eat me. I've always been waiting for
you. Yeah, we had like a record number of bear attacks last summer, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
I know.
But maybe Gentle Ben's out there. He's somewhere. A gentle guy that doesn't.
Anyway, I hope that kid has a life-changing experience like I did. So, Mary, what book did you bring?
Well, I brought the one that I'm reading, and then the rest of the series or part of the series that I'm reading. But I really want to talk about the author with you.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So the book I'm reading is called Irish Lace.
Irish Lace.
And it's a fiction book.
Yeah, the title gave it away.
Yeah.
No, not unless it's teaching you how to make Irish lace.
No, it's not. Okay. And then the next three that I have here, Irish Eyes, Irish Cream, and Irish Mist.
Oh.
And the first one I read was, oh man, I forgot it. Irish Gold. Irish Gold is the first one in the series. And Irish Gold actually takes place in Ireland. And it's, I can't, you know when they say, do you want to give it 2 stars or mm-hmm. 5 stars or whatever? And are you keeping track of your stuff on Beanstack?
Yes, I do.
So, you know, Beanstack has that, and I never do it. And
I never rate either.
I never rate. But the first book, I was, the first like 4 or 5 chapters, I was like, I don't like this book. I don't really like this book. But the dialogue was fun because it was there was a ton of Irish in it and all this Irish pronunciation, and I was trying to figure it up and I was looking them up and having you know the internet tell me how to say it, so I was saying it right in my head when I was reading, because you always know a reader because they mispronounce words,
right?
Have you ever heard that? They might read voraciously and know a lot of words and know what they mean, mm-hmm. but they don't know how to pronounce them because it's all,
they haven't owned it quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and they haven't heard it said by anyone. They've only read it in their brain.
How does this work in real life?
Yeah, right? How does it sound in real life? And if it's a brand new vocabulary word for them, they have no way of knowing.
Right.
So it just was intriguing to me. And the more I got into the book, the more I liked it. But his writing style is interesting. I'll just say that. It's interesting. He likes history. So I actually think you might like these. Because woven into everything is history.
Okay.
So the history in the first one was the conflict. It was like the beginning of the conflict between the Brits and the Irish trying to get, well, not the beginning, but in the middle of it.
Right.
In the middle of their big conflict, tells the history of that. And the beginnings, though, of the North Ireland, with the Irish Republic conflict.
Sure. So the beginnings of maybe the IRA.
Yes.
Kind of piece.
Yes.
Okay,
and they talked about the IRA a bit. Okay. And there was a lot of stuff I was like, I got nothing. I don't know any of this because we in America don't know anybody else's history.
No.
We're so dumb. And I own that. I know that I don't know that. So I was kind of intrigued. I'm like, it was hard because I didn't understand a lot of it. And I tried my best to slog through it. Mm-hmm. But so there's a lot of, it's fiction based on history, has a lot of history in it. They solve a little mystery. And the main character is maybe Faye.
Maybe Faye is her name.
No.
No.
Oh, she might
she might be fae, a fairy.
Oh.
In Ireland, they call them fae.
Okay. I'm now only laughing.
You
it
skipped
was,
into
again.
Some fiction that he's not ready for. But it's not.
Yeah, there we go. But it's not overpowering.
No,
like,
no. So,
like, I get through, like, the first half of the book, and I don't know they're even bringing that into it. Okay. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh.
She could be a fairy.
She's talking to the grandma who's dead. Okay. Well. And getting her information from her. But you don't realize that. Mm-hmm. And so his writing style is, like I said, I don't know how to call it other than interesting.
So that book that you just described with the girl who may be a fae, mm-hmm. is it Irish Lace?
It's the same.
Or is it every, she is in every one of these
yes,
books?
Yes. Oh, okay.
And there's a mystery.
And they're mysteries. And they're, that's why I said they're very historical based fiction with mystery and fae. I mean, can you mad put all of this together and slam it into the microphone? So her name is Nuala Ann McGrail.
Is the author.
No. That's the name of the character.
The name of the character.
The author is Andrew M. Greeley. Now, have you heard of him?
No. I have not.
He's a priest.
Is he really?
He has since passed away. He's from Chicago, and this is where it's going to get really interesting. He has actually written over 100 nonfiction books.
You're kidding.
No, and I think that you need to look him up.
I will. So, Andrew Greeley.
Greeley, mm-hmm. yes. Greeley.
Okay.
And I've done a little research on him now, and he is fascinating. Lived through Vatican II. He fought with bishops. He never was appointed as a parish priest because he made such a ruckus. He taught at the University of Chicago. He taught in New York. He taught in Arizona. He is a multimillionaire because
well, yeah.
he wrote so many books. He's written over 10 number one bestsellers. But he's given, you know, he gave
sure.
most of his money away.
Sure. Right.
When they give money to a university so that they will always have
endowment.
A chair at, and it was theological. He wanted to make sure they had a Catholic studies thing at the University of Chicago. So he made that happen. He did do an endowment for all the inner city Catholic schools in Chicago though.
Oh,
isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Exciting.
And he fought for Catholic schools. So he kind of is right here in my heart now.
Right.
And so that's why I don't want to not like his books. I'm like,
right.
I should like these books. And he was a big proponent of the Catholic Church trying to keep up with. I feel like he was really in the social justice of the 60s and 70s
mm-hmm.
and that the Catholic Church wasn't keeping up.
Right.
And obviously we're figuring out that I'm Catholic because I don't know that I ever said that.
Oh,
I was supposed to say that in my introduction. I've been a cradle Catholic, born and raised. Both my parents, actually, my mom was cradle Catholic as well, and my dad was a convert. So, I grew up in the Midwest. So that's
right.
another thing that connects me to this guy. I mean, I lived 5 hours from Chicago, so
right.
went to Chicago a few times in my growing up years, and he was a huge advocate for trying to crack down on the priest pedophile molestation,
sure, sure.
abuse of power.
Right.
He fought for, you know, protecting victims. He set up a victim's right money like
mm-hmm.
for them.
Sure.
So he used his money, obviously,
right.
in a very good way. And, you know, yes, he was a millionaire, and he spoke all the time, and he wrote for the New York Times, and
oh,
I just goodness. Think you would like this guy.
Right after,
like,
I'll remember this name.
I'll
remember
like
this
him.
Name.
Yes,
so
you both would
he
really...
was a bit of a reformer, but yeah.
Yes.
So can we talk, you said he's an interesting writer, or at least this series that you're reading.
Yeah,
so
well, his
what's
style,
the...
like there'll be 20 pages of him. He takes this other character. So Nuala Ann is the Irish girl, and she's like 22 years old. And then there's a 25-year-old guy who became a multimillionaire on the market on the, you know, New York Stock Exchange by accident. He put money down by accident and then something happened and he made
all this money.
Mm-hmm. So he retired at 25.
Oh, and he's, of course.
Well, that's why he ended up in Ireland. He went over to find his roots or whatever and met this girl. And it just is, I don't know. He from what I have read about him, right now it's pretty tame. But he talks about lust and he talks about, you know, the baser instincts. Mm-hmm. And when I've done my research about Pastor Greeley, he doesn't shy away from sex.
No, so he goes right into it.
Oh, he goes right. Yeah. So in these books, he hasn't. But I've heard in some of his others that he has full on sex scenes. And so he was really criticized for that.
I bet.
Being a priest and writing books that had this in it. But what in his Reformation thing, he said, you know, sex is beautiful. It needs to be in the context of a marriage, which is what he did.
He wrote about it in the
correct context. And like these two aren't married, they haven't done anything too untoward yet. You know, two books in, and I'm like, okay, he's handling it right. It kind of reminds me of how Stephanie Meyer, who was was LDS and wrote the Twilight series.
Right.
She felt like, okay, they're not going to get together until they're married. And, you know, I saw interviews about that. And I was like, he is doing the same thing.
Although I thought in Twilight it was because they were afraid he's a vampire.
Well, yeah, that was part of it. But her underlying thing was that...
No, I get
Christina,
you know Twilight
was fiction, not a...
Yeah, not real.
Well, no, in the book, though, the two were always worried
what might happen if he was a vampire. Yeah, turned out okay. I actually like those books, too.
They were okay. I disliked the main character. I thought she was a wimp.
Yes.
Especially... So after the second book was just her whining for a whole book.
Yes.
And then I'm like, I don't know if I want to read anymore. I seriously remember throwing it down on the floor like this is.
Did
stupid.
You read through to the end?
But
ever?
Then I did.
In book four, was it four and five? She finally got some balls.
finally picked one of the guys too.
That
it's like,
too.
Oh my gosh! I already work in high school. I don't need.
I don't need this drama. This vampire drama. Well.
You realize that you're just reinforcing, I mean, why Don Shula is such a great book. You know?
Well,
The Winning Edge, you know what I'm saying?
I honestly believe that you might like this.
So I will make this commitment. When I finish these books on our next library date night, I will go into the fiction section
and I will look up Greeley.
Yeah, it's somewhere on the other side.
It's third floor. M-I-C-T-I-O-N.
Third floor to the right under G R E.
Yes.
Greeley.
I'll get there.
And actually the first one in Irish Gold is in the library. This is actually a library book right here that I have in my hand. Irish Lace is
I don't think you read anything other than library books.
Well, or the other thing that I get is the discarded library books from the book sale.
Okay. Wow.
So these three are discarded and that's where I you know, when they have multiple copies.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing these were all number one bestsellers or close
at one point.
So they had multiple copies of him. Mm-hmm. And then once he goes out of fashion, because he died in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Or in the 2000s. He, once they, you know, then they just keep one copy usually.
Yeah.
So I picked these up because I read the back. I'm like, a priest? A priest wrote these books? Well, I better try them. And then I noticed there were two more, so I grabbed all three. And then I go, because I'm kind of anal that way, I have to read them in order.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, that makes sense.
Because I don't like not knowing the back history of a character. And so then I found the beginning ones, first two, because these are later.
Was this the book sale that was just like a couple weeks ago?
No, these I picked up over a year ago.
I love the book sale.
I do too.
And
I highly recommend it.
If any of the listeners have never been, you need to go. It is fun. It's in the basement, so it's cold. And the people who work it are so kind. And you can find anything, like anything. Records.
Records, magazines.
Videos, VHS, magazines.
Yep.
Like old poetry books.
You want to learn how to do some obscure craft thing? I bet you'll find it there.
Right.
needlepoint on rocks or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It is. I love the book.
You'll probably find Don Chula's book.
Mm-hmm. But 2 weeks ago when they had the book sale, Jason said, I thought we decided we weren't buying any more books. And in my head I thought, well, buying a library book's not really buying a book. But then I realized it is bringing home another book when we're trying not to bring home any more books. So we did not go to the library.
So Jason, here's what I do. I read them. I put them right back in a box, and then I take them back to the library and redonate them.
Oh, and they can resell them again.
Yeah. It's nice because I can have a little box of, oh, I know I want to read this someday if I can't find anything else. Yeah. See, and that's what happened with these.
Sure.
They sat in a box for almost a year,
and
I was reading other things, and I was like, okay, now it's time. It's time to read this guy. And it's good for me. I mean, Christina knows because I have read a nonfiction book with Christina. Mm-hmm. I still haven't finished it yet.
Yeah, neither have I, but it will be
finished. It will be finished, and I looked at it today before I came, and I thought, should I bring that book? Because I am reading that one, too.
Yeah, but we're reading it slowly.
We are reading it slowly and then discussing it. But so, Jason, you may not want to start into his nonfiction. Maybe you could look up he's written 2 memoirs.
Oh, see, those are fun.
Yeah, we're biography type things.
Yeah, look right.
At that. And you don't even have to go find the FICT.
I am going to I'm looking it up. I'm going to look them up. Greeley, and I can that name's locked in the brain.
And on top of all of that, I am very Irish. I know we joke about me being a Viking, and because I am Scandinavian as well, but I am more Irish than I am Scandinavian, which doesn't say much because the Irish. We're Scandinavians because the Scandinavians came
the Vikings came and raped and pillaged.
And raped and pillaged through all of Ireland and Britain.
Jason
and,
likes to remind me of that.
Yeah. So, well, it's very much in my blood. So to learn the Irish words, I named both my kids Irish/Scottish because I have that too. It names. Caitlin is very Irish and Ian is Scottish for John.
Right.
There's just a lot of reasons why I thought this would be a fun series.
Well, this is great. Look, the little guy gave me a nonfiction book. It didn't kill me. I enjoyed it.
Yep.
Mary's bringing me a challenge. So, I'm going to break out and do some nonfiction here.
Well, and even if you read the first one and then you go over to his, because I'm intrigued to read some of his
memoirs,
his nonfiction stuff now, too, that I've done a little research on him. There's not a whole lot on the internet. But I read a very, very good article about him after he died that was in the New York Times. So if you want a good synopsis of his life, pull that up. New York Times, Andrew Greeley dies, blah, blah, blah. It was on the first Google page.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. And that was fun to learn about him and learn where he's coming from when he writes. Because I was like, this is interesting that he was a priest and he wrote these kind of books. And but this one, they've moved to Chicago now, so they're not in Ireland anymore. She follows him back to the man, mm-hmm. back to Chicago, and now they have a mystery in Chicago.
Oh, of course.
And
so they solve mysteries.
Yeah, they do. And because he's retired.
He's got nothing else better to do.
He's got nothing else better, and he's trying to be a writer. So he goes and does all this research about this stuff and goes to her and she's talking to the dead people that are saying you have to solve this mystery. And then they are going and doing it kind of like this. They're coming together in the middle with their knowledge. Wow. And this one's about the Civil War. So it doesn't take place during the Civil War.
But the mystery
happened. The mystery happened during the Civil War.
All right.
And there was the great Camp Douglas conspiracy. That's what it was called.
And they're investigating it.
Very cool. Right.
And there may be a lost Abraham Lincoln letter. So that's
so now it's almost like Nicolas Cage,
Yes.
Searching for the Illuminati.
National treasure.
National treasure, yes.
He's got some of those books, too. He's written some of those. Like, he's written some taking place in the Vatican, but I'm sure they're not kind of quite that extreme.
Well, sure, but fiction.
Yeah. Very cool. So, there's my book.
Right on. Those are great. That is great. And so great. So Mary, I guess the next question then, what's your story? How does this translate all of this into your story of faith, I guess?
Well, when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about, I kind of thought of three things. I have three things.
I like it.
I know. So the first one.
Oh, is this a song?
The first one was my ringtone that I forgot to silence. Is how I came back to faith.
Okay.
Which, you know, you grow up and you, when you're, well, you maybe don't know. You were raised Catholic, though, right? Yeah. Yes. So, you know, you're raised Catholic and you go through the motions, you do it all, you go, then you go away to college and it's kind of like, meh, you know.
Right.
Well, then I met this guy who was super spiritual and seemed to have this depth of faith. And he wasn't Catholic, but boy, he sure had a lot of faith and seemed to really care about God and making sure that God was part of his life and that whoever he was with better have God as part of their life. Mm-hmm. And that was John. And I just said, yeah, he needs to be part of my life. And then, so I, you know, became a lot more invested back in the church and involved in the church. And when we moved here together after we got married, I mean, the first thing I did was go up and ask if I could sing in the choir and that sort of thing. And that brings me to my second thing,
right,
which is song. And the thing that brings me closest to God and always has is through song. And it's not always a good story, because that day that I went up and asked if I could sing in the choir, I was told no.
Here, someone in the parish here said no.
Yes, it was a long time ago, obviously.
Of course.
But no, our group is closed. We're not taking new members.
Exactly. Of and, course. Of course.
You know, and I've course. Learned through my years of experience, you know, that happens.
And that happens in any church,
and
besides
does.
Catholic.
It does.
It always happens.
And
always happens.
I have made it a promise of mine that I will always accept people, whether they can sing or not,
right,
into my choir and embrace them in whatever way that I can.
So there's room for me.
There is. Come on and join us.
So I don't want people's ears to bleed while we're at mass.
So anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
So what happened? You get the no, and then what?
Well, then, I mean, she went from no to a little more gracious and said, we need someone to lead the 7 p.m. Sunday night choir. And I was like, that's not when I go to church. That's not church time. What are you talking about? Although I had gone to a later Sunday night mass at school, at sure. college, when right. I had been going there. So I said, okay, I'll look at it. And ended up leading that group for years.
Oh, really?
Until even after I had my baby, I led it through being pregnant, had the baby, would have her on my hip, singing with her right there, and people used to call her their baby. Oh, where's our baby? Where's our baby? And she was really funny because she would stay on the blanket for a long time. She would stay on the blanket. She even when she started to crawl, because she was afraid of what was off the blanket.
Oh,
yeah. Well, because it happened when she didn't like grass, and right. I would put her on a blanket.
Oh, okay.
So then it became a thing where
right. oh, texture.
I can't go off a blanket because I'm not sure what's
right.
over there. Well, she outgrew that, and then I had to kind of take a little break because it was like Toddlerville, you know, and I couldn't do it. But the singing has always kept me close to my faith and close to God. And my husband, he said, I better say this, even though it's embarrassing to me. He said that when I sing, that I look different and that he can see the face of God or Jesus in me when I'm singing. And I, like I said, that's a little embarrassing to think that.
Not even remotely.
Or to say about myself, because I can't see myself. Right. I do know that I feel the spirit in me when I sing at church. When I sang Ave Maria this morning, I just love that, and it's so pretty. And you know, I can feel Mary
right
there when I sing something about her. Mm-hmm. And so I love the month of May because of being able to sing Mary songs all month. I can throw one in and nobody says anything. That's you right. know?
Nobody gets upset.
Nobody gets upset. And anyway,
that's beautiful.
So that's my second thing. And then mm-hmm. my third thing is Holy Rosary School.
Yeah.
And the conversion that I've had is ongoing there.
Right.
When I started to work there, it just, I think to myself, I didn't know anything about the Catholic Church. I got my formation during post-Vatican II Kumbaya,
sure, right.
you know,
right.
stuff, where it's, Jesus loves you, isn't that great? And that was about the depth of it. And so here I am at this Catholic school, and I had never done a rosary. Hmm. I had never prayed the St. Michael prayer. I didn't know these things. And not that you have to know those things no. or do those things to be a good Catholic or to be a good Christian.
Right.
You know, you don't. But there's so much depth
sure.
in our faith and the
a richness.
And richness to the practices right. of the Catholic faith and the right. history
right.
of all the different things that I've learned so much about different saints. I pray to St. Isidore all the time. You should have been praying to St. Isidore when you tried to get that cord to work.
Tell me about St. Isidore.
The patron saint of technology.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh. I
taught technology at Holy Rosary for 10 years. Right. Isidore. I had a picture of Isidore in my room. I'm like, make this work, please. This has got to work. Anyway, so, yeah. I mean, things that I had mm-hmm. no clue about, I have learned at that school. And when children say things to you and you just feel so blessed.
Yeah.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
And it is, like I said, it's an ongoing conversion that I am so, so grateful for.
Right on.
And it's not going away even when I do retire. I mean, they know. Now I want to come back and read with kids and, mm-hmm. and right. be the grandma yeah. and right. be the, you
get
you know,
to be the fun. You get to do the fun things.
Yeah. I don't want to do lunch duty and tell the kids to sit on their seats and eat their food anymore. I want to I want to read a book with them right. and... You know,
yeah.
come, well, Karina does let me come dressed up as the Cat in the Hat on Dr. Seuss Day. And I yeah. usually go from classroom to classroom and read my favorites.
I used to love Dr. Seuss Day.
Yeah, I still do. We missed it this year. Somehow it was, we were really busy at school and I totally went right past me and I was like, oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
So next year's another year.
But all three of those things, you know what? I guess I like just. I mean, the most obvious thing about all three of those things, Mary, is that they're all ongoing conversions, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you met John, and I what a wonderful story, right? And then at somewhere, John saw some beauty in your faith and converted.
Yes, he did.
And then, but I mean, again, ongoing conversion, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that marriage is
ongoing. Help each other.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so that, and then music, right? You get to share that ministry and that gift. And so again, I just love all three of those things. They're not stagnant and they're not, mm-mm. but they've been a part of your faith journey your entire life.
Yes. And I don't see, well, obviously I'm not going to get rid of my husband. Although right. that financially, that might be helpful. No, but, just kidding.
No.
And yeah, I mean, they're not going away.
They're not going away.
They're not.
And they're integrated.
They right. are integrated. And they are, like you said, ongoing. Today when I was singing with Caitlin.
Yeah, I know.
I was, people have told me this before. Oh, Caitlin looks like you. Well, now Caitlin sounds just like me.
Oh, interesting.
Her voice is maturing enough that if I dropped out, you wouldn't be able to tell who was dropping out. Our voices are so identical.
It's kind of cool.
And I'm like, holy mackerel, we are, I hope she doesn't listen to this.
No.
I don't want one more thing for her to say. Oh, I get so tired of people telling me I look like my mom.
Well, I do love seeing you and your daughter sing at Mass.
I
love hearing you and your daughter sing at Mass. And I love... So, you know where I sit in Mass,
yeah, yeah.
right? And so I get to watch you and your daughter sing, and I get to watch your husband's face when you do. And it's a beautiful thing. It's
a beautiful thing. And I'm glad that he enjoys it. I wish, you know, and I know he wishes that he had a little bit better singing voice, because he doesn't feel confident to get. I've always wanted him to come and sing with us, but he doesn't feel confident doing it. So
that's, by the way, and I know there is like tone deaf, but 98% in my opinion. 98% of singing is just having the confidence to do it.
Yeah.
And otherwise.
And maybe take instruction.
Yeah, a little instruction helps. And I've had some very good instruction over the years. And I know that, you know, I probably wouldn't be the singer I am without the instruction that I received. Right. So I was very lucky. I had really good instruction early in a place that really valued music and gave it away for free in the public schools.
Right.
And had extremely good music teachers and music programs, and it just I think the music programs here can be good. But I
wish they were.
I wish they were better.
I wish we prioritized it in just public education, period.
Yes.
Used to be a priority, then, you know,
the
Luna laws in this state at least got rid of a lot of those things out of the elementary.
Yes.
And now we're seeing that the secondary schools struggle, because what has happened is parents of elementary students who are interested in music, they tend to go somewhere and pay for it.
Right.
And then those kids are getting their instruction in whatever instrument or whatever. And when they decide to come to high school, they don't want to be in band because they're already getting the instruction.
Right.
And the sad thing is part of learning that is being that community of a band, and a marching band or a choir or all of those things.
Yes.
And instead the kids, and this happens with cheerleading and dance, you know, instead the kids are like, no, I have this group that I'm a part of. And it's, to me, it's sad because it means you have to have money in order to do that. And the kids who don't.
Yeah. And I don't know if they still do it where I grew up, but in fifth and sixth grade, we could take beginner band lessons on any instrument we wanted. In the school.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the school. And we had elementary choir.
Yep.
Fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And that was a class that you left your regular classes and you went and you had a choir. Mm-hmm. We had junior high choirs. Mm-hmm. Junior high band, where you took lessons all the way through.
We did too, junior high.
And then, if you were good enough, I got pulled into high school band in seventh grade.
Right.
Because, one, I was the only one playing that instrument. There was a senior playing that instrument, and there was me. Between senior and seventh
what
grade.
What was the instrument?
The euphonium, which is it's also called the baritone. It's a small tuba. It's this tall.
I know exactly what that is.
And it's the same range as a trombone, but it's much more mellow. Where a trombone sound goes like this,
right?
A euphonium sound goes like this.
Yeah.
So if you want to think visually, it's kind of round and warm, and a trombone is pointed. But the range of the sound is the same.
Right.
There was only 450 people in my high school. We had 132 kids in the band.
Similar. We had 400 students in our high school, but our marching band was amazing.
Yep.
And they traveled and played, and it was huge. They could do the designs on the field.
Yep, we did that.
And then I moved here thinking, I bet at these high schools,
it's even bigger.
It's going to be gigantic. And it wasn't. I'm like, what the heck is this?
Our high school 30 band people in a bigger. Band or something, and they didn't even have uniforms, and they were marching in the parade with shorts on. I was like, what is that? I had the hat and the plume
and the plume
and everything. Yeah. And I'm in Florida marching in 100-degree weather with this big heavy marching uniform on. And our choir, we had multiple choirs. I will have to say, and I think she's retired now, Miss J up over at IF, she really did do a good job with musical instruction of those high school kids. I watched my kids learn a lot from her, but we also had every week you got a 30-minute small group lesson with band and with choir as part of being in that class. And you came before school or after school, But when you were committed to it and learning it, you got that instruction. I mean, right. If you're with three or four girls learning how to produce good vocal sound, you're going to learn.
Right.
And like you said, people here, I mean, people ask me all the time, where can I get a vocal instructor? I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know that. I mean, I got my vocal instruction
in the public school.
Yeah. And then I went and I sang in choir in college for one year, but then it was too hard to do fun stuff in college like that. And when you wanted to make sure you had your drinking time.
No kidding. You can't take early morning classes.
Oh my gosh, no. I almost flunked calculus because it was at 7:30 in the morning. It was like I had to drop that class. Yeah.
I so badly wanted a minor in coaching. In Montana, you could get a minor in just coaching. But all the classes were at 8 in the morning, and I could
not. For coaching? You would think there's going to be 4 p.m.
Yeah, right.
No. Then go right to the bar.
I took the volleyball next one was basketball, and it was right on Thursday morning at 8. And Wednesday night was quarter beers at Dudley's, and you just couldn't do both of those things. So I had to drop that class.
Yeah.
And my dream of becoming a coach.
All over Dudley's. All right. Well, Mary, thank you very much. That was great. I have so many more questions about John, obviously, and about running into him at the University of Idaho, right? Mm-hmm. But we'll have to save those for another day.
Well, okay. I'll just tell the listeners, if you don't know John and Mary, they probably have one of those amazing marriages that you rarely see. And the two of them have been married, you said 35 years, right?
Yes.
35 years, and when John looks at Mary, you can see it's as if he's looking at her for the first time.
Oh,
he is so in love with her.
I know.
It just puts everybody to shame.
And they go great places, too. So that's the other thing, too, the great places. But anyway, thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
You very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
This was great.
And thank you, listeners, for sticking with us and... We didn't give up on our podcasting. We're going to go back again.
No, we did not. We're still reading and drinking and talking with people. And the dog is clearly still here.
And
I'm going to look up St. Isidore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great one.
All right.
That might have to be something.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.